Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels and from Super Bowl 60 here in San Francisco. I have once again retreated to my hotel room because, holy cow, Radio Row is insane today. It's my last day in San Francisco. It's been a treat. Cannot wait to get home. Been lovely to catch up with lots of folks that I only really see once or twice a year, usually at these big NFL events. But yeah. Ready to get back to New York, even though I heard it's freezing again. Great to see a bunch of folks out last night and meet Packers fans. Met a couple more Packers fans today just walking down the street. It's great to hear from you all. Thanks so much for saying hello and being so welcoming here in San Francisco. Not a ton of Packers news to pontificate upon today. Obviously, the big smorgasbord yesterday with Brian Gutekunst speaking. Still a lot to talk about from that session with Brian. There is a touch of Packers news in the coaching staff front. The Packers bringing in Paulie, the wide receivers coach from a very brief time with Penn State, but the last 3 years with Iowa State, and prior to that with North Dakota State, has coached Christian Watson in his past, along with Jaden Higgins down there in Houston. A guy who sounds like a very exciting, young, up-and-coming coach. But we all know that we don't really know what that contains or portends until he actually gets there on the practice field with the guys he's going to be working with. Going to be interesting to see if there's any noticeable differences in how the wide receivers operate in Matt's offense. Clearly, one of the number one things that he's going to be asked to do is to continue having these guys work their technique and block their asses off in the run game. If you do not block, as Matt is fond of saying, no block, no rock. Got to be able to continue on that tradition, if nothing else. But route spacing concepts, things like that, reading defenses, how they're drilling, what techniques they're focused on, fundamentals, how they focus on those, things of that nature. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. One thing I wanted to talk about today, though, on the flip side, it's interesting here, with so much being talked about, all the defensive coaching staff changes because of the Gannon hire, and obviously Micah Parsons being in town for the Pro Bowl, there's been a lot of focus on him, and it's interesting to kind of think about, at least in my mind, Lucas Van Ness and where he sits right now heading into a season where they'll probably pull the trigger on his fifth-year option. That would be my guess. We haven't probably until May to hear that officially, but you look at the work he did this year, and I understand that probably it's a bit frustrating with the fact that JSN is in a Super Bowl here in this town, gonna be playing on Sunday, a guy who lots of Packers fans wanted the green and gold to take, and they bypassed him and lots of other guys, Gonzalez, another guy who's gonna be playing in the Super Bowl, for Lucas Van Ness. And it's certainly clear that so far this kind of time period early on in his career, I don't think you can say anything else, but it's been disappointing. He certainly hasn't been a difference maker, doesn't look to become a difference maker at any point in his career. I don't think anyone's thinking superstardom for Lucas Van Ness. But I will say, going back and looking at the totality of the season he put together in 2025 when he was on the field. Now, he missed a lot of time with injury, but I do like the prospect of his still, the ability for him to become a long-term high-end starter for the Packers. And you got to think, opposite Micah Parsons, he's going to have opportunities. There's zero doubt about that. I think one of the more underrated aspects of his game that a lot of people probably aren't, privy to, aware of, or think about a whole lot is his ability against the run. He was an excellent run defender this year, and I know that probably doesn't mean a whole lot to people who are disappointed with his lack of sacks and the lack of pressures and what have you, but I do think even in that regard, you saw some of his ability throughout, the games where he was on the field and healthy, able to play a full complement of snaps. It's really unfortunate that his first sack of the season, he literally got hurt on that play against the Bengals when he took down Joe Flacco. And then he missed so much time after that. Had kind of an attempt to get back on the field. I think he lasted, what, 6-7 snaps, and then he was back on the bench for a couple more weeks. But you go back and you look at, in particular, the Ravens game, which sounds weird because they got run over in that game, but he played a very good game. And from that moment on, I thought he played well, given his where he was in the rotation and things like that. So it's frustrating to be in a moment with a guy that you did take not only in the first round, but in the top 15. And so far in his career, like I said, he hasn't become a difference maker in any real sense of that phrase. But I do think there's still hope there. And I think this is the season where you've got yet another another coaching change slash scheme change for him to get accustomed to. It is ultimately put up or shut up time. And I do think there's a cheat code across from you with Parsons undoubtedly drawing a ton of attention. Here's hoping that consistently waiting for Lucas Van Ness finally pays off for the Green Bay Packers in 2026. That's the hope. That's the dream. We will see how that plays out throughout this season. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going, you know, I got to give a shout out to our friends over there at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is your home team for bone, joint, and muscle care. From sprains to surgeries, they've got the playbook to keep you moving. So when pain tries to take you out of the game, trust the experts who know how to win with ThetaCare Orthopedic Care, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Okay, folks, what's on your mind? Let's let the healing begin. Joe, how you doing, man? I'm impressed with the assistant coaches the Packers are bringing in. Definitely not taking the McCarthy route of getting the band back together. Woo, the McCarthy staff is amazing. I mean, he brought back Joe Witt. He really is getting the band back together. And yeah, I do think, and we talked about this a bit, I want to say 2 weeks ago here on Daily, regarding LaFleur and his hiring of folks. And I know there's been a lot of chatter about who he's chosen to bring in throughout his tenure. I know a constant knock early in his career had been, oh, he just wants to work with his buddies. I don't think there's anything wrong with working with a known commodity and people that you know and have worked with and have met throughout your time in the league. But I certainly think over the course of the last 2 or 3 years, he's shown an ability to think, maybe not outside the box, but certainly go in directions that maybe people weren't expecting. I mean, Jeff Hafley is the ultimate example of that. We've talked about the fact that no one had him on the radar at all when the Packers ended up hiring him. And I do think clearly with the Gannon hire, they've maybe not loaded up, but they've certainly looked to bring in guys with a lot of coordinator experience. I think there's 3 or even 4 guys now on the defensive side of the ball who have coordinator experience in their background. That can only help as far as their teaching ability, the ability to know what they're teaching the guys and how it fits in the scheme and how it works together. And I do think Matt has done it. It should be given a little credit for the way the staff is coming together. I know there are certain coaches that everyone's hot to get out of the building, but I do think overall Matt's done a pretty damn good job so far this offseason of bringing in the guys necessary to not only obviously sustain the things that they do well, but to continue to improve in areas where they've struggled. Danny G, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Since clearly no sheep will be sacrificed, Matt LaFleur could do us a solid simplifying calling in plays. Way too complicated and drains the play clock. Lieutenant Dan. Dan, you are not wrong. That is something I talked about after the loss to the Bears, where you saw that repeatedly bite them in the ass in the second half of that game. I don't know if it's a streamline thing. I don't know if they have to go to different verbiage or they have to kind of maybe like work around how they're relaying the information, but there's zero doubt. You saw it play out not just in that game. You saw it play out multiple times throughout the season. And interestingly enough, we were at an event last night where Jordan Love was available to the press, and I asked him if he wanted more ownership of the offense, meaning, you know, do you not only want more say in how it's run and what you do, but possibly like times when you're going to be out there calling the plays outside of the 2-minute situations. And he was very diplomatic about it and, you know, saying that he's got a full grasp of what they're doing and he and Matt are in lockstep, but he did also say they're going to continue to have conversations this offseason. And I think that component is a pretty significant area. I'm not going to say of concern, but a spot that's needed you know, improvement is certainly needed. There's little doubt about that, because like we talked about, they've gotten bit a couple of times in that regard, where they're wasting timeouts or defenses are able to take advantage of the fact that they have drained the clock so far that they know they're going to be forced to snap the ball. It's undoubtedly an issue that they have to grapple with throughout the offseason so that it becomes a hell of a lot more efficient. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? Hey, Nags, at this point, LVN is what he is. I'm actually more excited about Sorrell going forward. The kid really flashed last year in a few games. I like his bend, and I do like his ability to kind of set guys up. And to your point, even in limited snaps, you saw he was able to kind of work offensive tackles in a variety of different ways. He didn't just have one move, right? Like a young Rashawn Gary had the bull rush, and that was essentially it. And I was a veteran Rashawn Gary still only has the bull rush, but that's another story, another conversation. But yeah, he has a couple of moves already. And I remember some draft nicks talking about that when the selection was made, but you never really know how that's going to translate to the NFL, better competition. It certainly doesn't seem to slow him down. He does seem to have a knack for being able to, you know, use his bend, his athletic ability to not only get around the edge, but then set guys up thinking he's going to be going outside and then working back inside with power. I agree, man. Sorrell is an exciting prospect, but you know that Lucas Van Ness is going to get every opportunity to start and, you know, be a major contributor and a major part of the rotation from the get-go. Neil Flynn, what's up, man? It's no surprise the Bears aren't playing in a Super Bowl, seeing as Bears hibernate in the winter. Well, that and the Bears suck. Spot on. I have no notes. 10 out of 10. Perfectly said. Mike, thanks again. I can't believe I heard Goody actually say Keyshawn had a really, really good year. You think Goody actually watched any of the games? What do you think? Yes, you're right. The general manager of the Green Bay Packers didn't watch any of the games. We talked about this yesterday. He's not going to badmouth any of his guys in public. I guarantee you the conversations being had behind closed doors are very different. But in public, he's never going to throw a guy under the bus. He's never going to be negative. It's just not how they operate. They haven't for a very long time. I don't know what Packers fans expect. You know, if you're looking for something else, you're going to be waiting a long time. This isn't, you know, talk radio. They're not going to be pounding the table and, you know, nostrils flaring talking about how this guy sucks. It's just not going to happen in Green Bay, Wisconsin. What else we got, folks? We got, oh, Go Pack Go, what's up? Hey, Nags, do you have any ideas who will play at kick returner for the Packers next year? Kick returner and punt returner obviously are two different skill sets. I still think Savion Williams will probably be first up. We'll get first crack at kick return. Now, maybe they draft somebody who also is able to kind of step into those shoes. But I got to think Savion is probably your first bet when it comes to kick return. Now, as far as punt returns go, man, I have no idea. Hopefully they draft someone, though I'm not holding my breath. I got to think they'll continue to, you know, try to find guys as, you know, late round draft picks, maybe even undrafted guys. I highly doubt they use a premium pick or, you know, even really any of their drafts, major draft selections on a specified punt returner. I wish they would. You know, maybe they go the free agent route. That's possible. That seemed to be what they were trying last year, and that just didn't materialize. But with the Mecole Hardman signing, but I don't know. It's that to me is a mystery at this point, but it's also what, early February, you know, they don't play anybody on Sunday, unfortunately. So we will see how that materializes through the off season. I noticed somebody said something early here. Here we go. Engine. What's going on, man? Hi, Nags. I'm concerned by how loud of a voice Wildy has in the Packers sphere. I feel like he's often rather alarmist and riles up the fan base versus solid analysis. Wow. Okay, a lot to unpack there. I think you're way off. I think certainly he highlights things that may be concerning with the franchise, with the team, the play on the field, etc., whatever, the coaching staff. Pick a topic, right? But I very much disagree that there's no solid analysis there. I think Wildy is one of the most plugged in guys on the beat. And the fact that he does have a radio show where he talks about this stuff each and every day is a little different as far as the paradigm goes, right? He's got to fill airtime and he's talking about stuff, subjects that hopefully will keep people listening. So I don't, you know, have any issues with how Wildy covers the team. I think he does a great job. Now, can he be dramatic at times? Mike McCarthy himself indicated, you know, he wasn't in mood for drama tonight, Jason, back in the day. Yeah, Wildy can pump up the drama sometimes, zero doubt about it. But Packers fans are insanely lucky to have him on the beat. I'll tell you what, most of the time, if there is something percolating within the fan base, either via the internet or calling into his radio show, what have you, he will do a phenomenal job of making sure that it at least gets asked about to whoever's, you know, available, whether it's the GM, the coach, what have you. And he may not do it in the way that, you know, talk radio callers would do it. He's not going to be mad about it. He's not going to attack the coach or the GM, but he's going to make sure that you at least get a response about it, whatever that subject may be. Now, I think Jason does really valuable work on the beat. Again, I understand the drama component of it. That is not, you're not imagining that. That does occur, certainly. But no, I think Jason's really good at his job. And again, I think you're all very lucky to have him in that room asking those questions. E4 again. I was just typing. Enough of running the play clock down so fucking often. Making an exception, not the rule. Yeah, and it's like, look, I understand what Rodgers always used to talk about, right? Getting all the information. But it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of time to get information for Jordan Love when they're breaking the huddle with like 15 seconds to go, hurrying up to the line, trying to get the motion going, and then now it's 2 seconds left. You know, what information are you gathering? Maybe off the motion you get an idea of man or zone. But yeah, it's not so much in my mind. It's not so much that they have to only do it on occasion. They can do it every time if they want. But they have to have the ability to go into other tempos. And I think that's something we've seen some of the better offenses in the league are able to do. I mean, the Rams do this. Hell, the Bears do it. I think Ben Johnson's done it really well, both during his time in Detroit and now with Chicago, as far as getting to a point in the game where all of a sudden you have been taking the play clock down, and now suddenly you're getting in and out of the huddle up to the line of scrimmage and you're snapping the ball, and there's like 20 seconds left in the play clock. And it doesn't have to be, again, a consistent thing, but the ability to get in and out of that kind of thing really plays on the defense. It makes it a lot harder for them to get the information they're trying to get, you know, and to get lined up, to communicate properly with, you know, what the coverage is and what the rush is, and trying to marry those two with whatever the offense is presenting. You know, the ability to play with tempo, both up and down, is something that just haven't seen a ton of out of the Packers under Matt LaFleur. And we've seen glimpses of it, hints of it, but it hasn't become a kind of staple of their offense. And I really think it needs to be. Well, we'll see. I say all this and it'll probably all be the same next year. Jason, what's up, man? First Bob Babich and now Noah Pauley. Matt is tapping into the NDSU pipeline. Now let's draft some offensive linemen from there. I'm down with the idea of getting some, you know, some rough and tumble linemen. I'm all about that life, but I just think it's nice to see not just, you know, the guys he's brought in and their kind of backgrounds working with different position groups, what have you, but the fact, again, coordinator experience with the entirety of the passing game rather than just one position, that's I think will pay dividends. I really do. Brockman, how are you? Nags, how is our cap looking for 26? Did the NFL increase the salary cap by $50 million, or am I on crack? You are, sir, not on crack. I know the cap's supposed to hit around, what, 309 or something like that. It's a significant increase yet again. I think most teams understood where it was going to land. You know, it's always kind of a headline when the media finds out, but most teams internally have a decent idea of what they're going to be able to kind of utilize and play with. As far as where the Packers are, I couldn't give you an exact number, but I can tell you they have the ability to be as flexible as they want to be. And they have no constraints. They have nothing keeping them from doing whatever they want in free agency, signing their own guys. They have maneuverability within their own roster to create cap space if they so choose. There are no cap constraints. That's really all that is, all that matters. You know, they have the ability to do whatever they want. Joe, what's up? You having Goud on here again this year? We'll see. TBD. Hopefully. Corey and I usually have him on right at the end of the offseason program. So that would be in the spring. We'll see. I'll talk to him at the combine and see if he's amiable. TKM, good to see you at your post. How are you, man? Can we sign 7 now? Random Packer, Mark Brunell. They could if they wanted to. I don't think they're going to, though. Talked about this, I believe, on Monday. The feeling I get, you know, we've heard from Brian a number of times talking about how he wants Walker to be a core part of the team. He's in their plans going forward. But they've had a year. They've had all year to sign him to an extension. And now he's on the doorstep of free agency. If you're Quay Walker, you want to see what's behind that door. Now, anything can happen. We went down this road with Aaron Jones years ago where it legit, I think, took to the last kind of hours before, you know, they agreed to a rework deal, and he stuck around for another year prior to getting cut the following season. But anything can happen right before free agency starts, that legal tampering period 2 days before the official start of free agency. So I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying he's out the door completely, but I do think it's more than likely that he will test the market. That would be my guess. But we'll see. Now I could get done, and there's a headline: Packers sign Quay Walker to extension. Tommy, thank you, sir. Interested to hear about the chatter you're listening to in San Francisco. Have any sense of the state of the Packers from fans/media members of other teams? Yeah, I'll tell you what is so funny. The thing I keep hearing is, why do Packers fans hate Matt LaFleur? Like, legitimately. Like, there are so many loud Packers fans on the internet who are so disgruntled and so angry. And everyone here is like, he's really good. And I keep saying, I know. So I don't know. That is legit the theme that I've gotten throughout this week from people, both media and teams. So I don't know what to tell Packers fans that are so, you know, upset that they have a really good coach. You know, look around the league. You can see other coaches being hired and fired. And, it's not a fun way to live. Now, again, we talked about this at the start of the week. I understand, especially in the context of this week with these two teams in the Super Bowl, a first-year head coach and a second-year head coach, I understand when you have a coach that's been in town for 7 years and hasn't won the Super Bowl, it's been on the doorstep, hasn't won it, hasn't even gotten there, I get the restlessness. But that doesn't make him a bad coach. He's a really good coach. Menace. I think that's a good point. I love that Wildy, while dramatic, doesn't choose to die on the hill of defending Matt LaFleur and Goody 24/7 no matter what. That's very true. In fact, I know Tauscher always kind of teases him about hating Goody. And I don't think that's true. But I'm with you. I think, you know, I think Jason calls a spade, and if something's bad or, you know, a problem or whatever, he's gonna say it. Well, he's not gonna kind of whitewash it, you know? Yeah, I think he does a good job with that. Go be a Raiders fan if this is too much. Now. We don't need to be mean about it. It's quite all right. Dad brain download. What a handle. It's not just that he hasn't won a Super Bowl. It's that he's accomplished exactly the same thing almost every year. Sneak into the playoffs and lose in the first round. Yeah, but there was context around that this year, right? I mean, you can acknowledge that, correct? They were in a perfect spot until their four of their best players went down in one game. A game where, by the way, prior to that game, they had won 4 in a row and were in control of the division. And even after that, if Romeo Doubs falls on an onside kick, they're hosting a home playoff game. There's context here. So I get the frustration. I understand it. But I also understand all of the comings and goings, the fact that there were 10 openings this year. Just wait and see how many of those guys are still around 2-3 years from now. I Packers fans, I get the frustrations. I really do. But I also understand Ed Policy wanting to keep the continuity and thinking, you know, we're right there. We're in the mix to win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. That's hell. That's pretty fucking good. To my eyes. Your mileage may vary. Thomas, what's up, man? You guys need Matt on transplants. He wins playoff games every time he's on. Yeah, I haven't really beat him over the head with that yet, but I'm starting to think I need to. I mean, the demarcation line is clear, right? It seems pretty obvious to me. All right, buddy, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Programming note, there will be no Packers Daily tomorrow because I will be traveling. I'll be in the air while the normal daily time is happening. So I will be back on Monday. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Going to be a lot of fun. Not really rooting for either side, but just hoping for a good game. Thank you, everybody. Really appreciate all the connectivity with Packers fans worldwide each and every day here on Daily. Again, like I said, I talked to people all week long who, you know, talked about how they listen every day or they listen with their family, which is always crazy to me. I really, really appreciate it. The fact that anybody who utilizes Cheesehead TV to connect to the Packers is mind-blowing to me. I really, really do appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. I will see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Go Pack, go.